Father, thank you, Lord, for our gathering together around the word of God today. Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Glory to God. You said, he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, shall have the light of life. For them, O Lord, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And a stranger they will not follow, because they know not the voice of strangers. We thank you for these precious promises. Today, as always, as we fellowship around the word of God, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We receive the light and the understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today, I want to do part two of the role of prophecy and discerning the prophetic. Yesterday we did part one. This is actually still part of the series of, you know, gaining proper understanding of Bible prophecy. So we're shifting a little bit now. It's still on prophecy and the prophetic. So we're shifting a little bit now. And I want to cover more on the role of prophecy for us as individuals and as the body of Christ. And then more so on, you know, discerning the prophetic and also walking in the prophetic. So you can see that there's going to be a lot to cover. I mean, it's just so much on this subject. Yesterday we covered part of the role of prophecy, and I want to do quick review in case somebody wasn't here. Prophecy can be for many things. Most people, when they think of prophecy, we're thinking of something that, you know, God is foretelling about the future. And that's true. But that's not all it is. There's also prophecy, you know, that could be related to the current situation that you are in right now. Something that God is speaking to you at the moment to help you through the situation that you are in. And I spent more time actually on that yesterday. I mean, knowledge of something that's going to happen 25 years from now may be good, but today, right now, you know, I need help through the situation that I'm in. That's even better. So we looked at the story in 2 Chronicles 20 yesterday, to deal with prophecy for the moment, for the present conflict, whatever you're going through. The prophecy of Jahaziel to Jehoshaphat and Judah and Israel, Jerusalem, Israel, all of them, telling them and what the Lord's going to do for them when they were faced, you know, with battle over three great armies that came together against them. And we analyzed the various things that were said in that prophecy. I'm not going to go through all of that. If you want to hear it all again, check out the replay. But that prophecy was for the moment. It wasn't for some 10 years in the past in the future or some, you know, thing like that. It was for them to handle and to know, to give them courage for the present conflict. So that was a significant example of prophecy, you know, for the moment that guides you through those kinds of situations. Generally, we know that, Paul also wrote instructions, you know, and different things, you know, about what prophecy can do for us. For instance, you know, edifying the church, exhortation to the believer, comforting the weary, and so on and so forth. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 tells us that he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Now, we also read about the spirit of prophecy being the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19 and 10. You know, so true prophecy from the Lord will ultimately point to Jesus and testify about Jesus. In fact, Jesus said that concerning the Holy Spirit. He said, well, when the Spirit of truth is come, you will testify of me. So we covered all that yesterday. And we began to also look at discerning the prophetic a little bit. Discerning the prophetic means, you know, when prophecy is given, we have a responsibility to check it out. Make sure that we understand what it's saying and that we actually know that it's from the Lord, first of all, before we start doing anything. You know, it's not everything that we hear that someone says in the name of the Lord is actually what the Lord is saying. We've seen those examples in the scriptures where someone said, thus said the Lord, but it really wasn't. You know, they were speaking presumptuously out of their own heart and sometimes to deceive people. You know, we covered the stories, you know, of Zedekiah and many hundreds of prophets in the days of Jehoshaphat and Ahab. We did that before in the other lesson. Versus Micaiah, we saw Hananiah versus Jeremiah, and so on and so forth. And we saw the story in 1 Kings 13 before of the young prophet and the older prophet, where the older prophet came and told him, the Lord told me, but the Lord didn't tell him. And the scripture says, but he lied. You know, so we see that, you know, prophets can lie. That the man was not necessarily a false prophet, but he was a prophet that lied in the moment because, you know, he brought the word of the Lord again. Same man, you know, and brought judgment against the young prophet that disobeyed the voice of the Lord. You know, so, you know, it's our responsibility to discern. Now, this young prophet in 1 Kings 13 did not properly discern the prophetic. He let his guard down because this man was an older prophet, introduced himself. As you know, I'm also a prophet of the Lord. And I looked at him and said, wow, he must be wiser. He's older than me and so on. So he let his guard down. And that's not discerning the prophetic. Just because the man was an older, more seasoned prophet than he himself was, or an older brother, or someone, you know, famous, and say something to us in the name of the Lord, that doesn't mean you just have to take it. So towards the end of the lesson yesterday, there was a question raised, and I want to kick off from there today on, you know, if someone says something to you in the name of the Lord and it doesn't resonate with your spirit, you know, some say, well, for now, just shelve it, you know, pray about it and so forth and see what the Lord tells you. Well, that's always a good thing, even if it does resonate with your spirit. It's always a good thing to pray about everything. Hear what the Lord is saying to you yourself. So this is where we're going to kick things off today. I want to talk more about discerning the prophetic and then walking in the prophetic. Now, there are some things that, you know, Jesus said, you know, concerning walking in the prophetic. Okay, you know, he talked about my sheep hear my voice, you know, and they follow me. And a stranger they will not follow because they know not the voice of strangers. Now, the prophetic has to do many times with voice. Most of the time, voice is given to prophecy. You know, our prophecy is given by voice. And sometimes prophecy can be written too, but, you know, most of the time, you know, there's a prophetic utterance. You know, someone might say something to you, or the Lord himself might say something to you. Now, in the case where the Lord himself was saying something to us, discerning the prophetic in that instance would be for you to understand that and know that it was the voice of the Lord. A good example would be the story of young Samuel in the first couple of chapters of the book of First Samuel. The young man, after his mother had him to fulfill her vow, she took him to the house of the Lord and gave him up. He became an altar boy under Eli. And one day the Lord called him in the night. Of course, he didn't know it was the voice of the Lord. He ran to Eli, and that happened multiple times. After about third or fourth time, Eli figured out it must be the Lord that's calling this young man. So he says to him, well, you know, the next time he calls, you don't come running to me. You say these words, you know, just tell him you are here and they are ready to hear and let him speak. And so the old priest helped the young boy, trained him a little bit on discerning the voice of the Lord. See, he couldn't discern the voice of the Lord. In fact, the Bible said the young man did not know the Lord yet. Well, you don't know the Lord, how are you going to know his voice? You know, voice print and voice recognition is actually something not only that you use greatly in technology and so forth, but also in our everyday lives. You know, people that you are used to, that you know, I mean, you might know their voice. You know, there might be a lot of people speaking, but you can discern their voice because you know them. I mean, your mothers will know the voice of their children, and et cetera. And even the voice of people. Somebody may be speaking in this room, not necessarily me, maybe when we're doing, you know, say the reactions and so forth, and you're not, and they didn't introduce themselves, and you're not looking at the phone to see who was speaking. Maybe you're just driving or something. But when you hear their voice, you be used to that voice. You can know its sister such and such and its brother such and such. You know, somebody may call you on the phone before they introduce themselves, and even without caller ID, because you know their voice, you know who's speaking. You may be in a meeting, you know. I attend meetings on my job all the time over the phone and so forth. Not by video, just by audio. And people don't always introduce themselves, and you know, but when they are speaking, because I'm used to it, there may be 50 people or more in that meeting, and so somebody is speaking, you know their voice. Just because you're so used to them. Jesus wanted us to know his voice like that, you know. Know his voice, personalized for you. You know, not just the one that's spoken to over the congregation. Now, that's a good one, too, for us to be able to discern. But you can have help there. It's not on you only. Paul wrote about that, you know. There is responsibility to other prophets in the congregation when someone else is prophesying. So, well, let one speak and let the others judge. So, it's not just on you. You know, there's other responsibility, shared responsibility in that case. You know, somebody says something in the name of the Lord, and shared responsibility. Other people who are there and know the voice of the Lord can help, you know, us figure it out. You know, that's, you know, shared responsibility in a corporate or congregational setting. But what about if it's only you? You know, praise God. If it's only you, and I said yesterday that, look, if someone says the Lord told them something to do and it's personal to them, I wouldn't even care. It's none of my concern. I cannot prove that the Lord didn't tell them, even if the thing looks weird or crazy. It's their business between them and God. What's my concern? Now, but if that person would bring that thing to the church and say, well, the Lord said that we, you know, now, if he makes it that it's a church thing, a congregational thing, then we got to judge that thing. Okay? If it's what he wants, the Lord told him to do, even if I don't agree, it's none of my concern. I'll just pray for them and say, well, praise the Lord. You know, that's it. To his master, he standeth or falleth. But if he tells us there is something God is saying to the church, then I got a responsibility to check that thing out. You know, and I mentioned examples of, you know, of people, you know, that God asked to do what I call some crazy stuff, you know, in the Bible. You know, but they didn't come and make it doctrine. It was just what God put upon them. Some of them were in consecration. Wear a yoke around your neck, Jeremiah, as part of his consecration. You know, walk naked for some years, you know. Isaiah, Hosea, marry a harlot. Ezekiel, you know, lie on your side for 390 days. All these things as part of the life that God prescribed for them called consecration. Now, if they came to the church and said, God said all of us must lie on our side for 390 days. Well, that's crazy. We're not going to do it. I'm not going to do it if I was there, you know. But, you know, if it's for them, I don't care. Moses, he told us that God told him to do stuff that was contrary to what God already said. You know, but that's what God told him. God told them in the beginning, thou shalt make no graven images of things in heaven or anywhere. Well, Moses said God told him to make graven images. And he did, you know, craft the cherubims and seraphims and mercy seat and ark and so forth. Those are graven images that he made, you know, but he didn't say that God said we all should be doing it. And if he said that God said we should all be doing it, that would be contrary. God can tell him to do that. There was a sign, there was a message, there was a prescription in there that God was giving him. Okay? You know, and he did. So, you know, go and marry a harlot. God told somebody to go and marry a harlot. Then they cannot come. Will they not come to the church and say, everyone will force to go and marry harlot? That would be crazy. We're not going to do it. You know, but it's on them to do that. So we got to discern, these things, you know. I told also, you know, the story of the, and this, you know, this leads me back to the, somebody says something to you and it doesn't resonate with you. Lesson or question that was at the end of the room yesterday. You know, there was this, prophet in the New Testament called Agabus, you know, who had prophesied, you know, a great famine that was coming, which famine also was fulfilled in a certain time. The prophecy talked about it. I mean, the scriptures talked about in the book of Acts, they talked about who he was, you know, and so forth. And, you know, but one time, as you know, I may know the story, or if you don't, I'll tell it to you now. You know, one time he came and said something to Paul. Actually, not to Paul directly, but about Paul. You know, in Acts chapter 11, verses 27 to 30, this man called Agabus had prophesied that there was a great famine that was coming that was spread throughout the Roman world at the time. And the prophecy was accurate. It happened just like he said. So he was someone that was known for his words to come to pass. In fact, he didn't just prophesy this thing in a corner. He prophesied it and everybody heard it. And it was fulfilled. So, you know, he was a proven man that, you know, his words could come to pass. Well, so one day in Acts chapter 21, the same Agabus would be in a place where when Paul was in a place called Caesarea. And, you know, like some of these prophets of the Old Testament used to do, symbolisms and different things. So he saw Paul's girdle or belt lying somewhere. He didn't know who it was. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but he didn't say who it was. He just said, the man that owns this girdle, this is what's going to happen to him. When he goes to Jerusalem, he's going to be bound. So he binds himself with the girdle and says, well, this is how they're going to bind him, and this is what the Jewish leaders will do to him, etc. You know, and all the disciples, because they knew it was Paul's, they started to lament over that, you know, prophecy that Paul should not go to Jerusalem. This is going to happen to you and so forth. You know, they believed the prophecy. Paul himself believed it, but he did not accept it. You know, he didn't say it was false. He just said, look, the Lord already told me that I will suffer many things for his name's sake. He already told me that. So, you know, whatever anybody is telling me now, why are you trying to break my heart and try to make do all these things? God already told me I'm going to, and I am going. I don't care. I'm ready to die there even. Well, that's that resonate with your spirit or not. So in balancing things, Paul didn't say it was a false prophecy. He just said, the Lord already told me. See, and that's what that young prophet in 1 Kings chapter 13 should have said. The Lord already told me. So I don't care what you are saying now. I'm sticking with what God told me. Well, you know, Paul was going to stick with what Jesus already told him. Even though this prophet came and told him the word of the Lord, in truth, what will happen to him in the future, you know, when he gets to Jerusalem, and it did happen to him. You know, so, well, that's fine, but, you know, I'm doing what the Lord told me. You know, so we have a responsibility when we hear the prophetic, especially when it relates to our personal lives and some kind of instruction or guidance about your life. You have that responsibility. It may resonate with you or it may not resonate with you, you know, but you have the responsibility what you're going to do about it. I talked about the point of resonating yesterday. I said, look, we cannot use whether I resonate with you or not as the quote-unquote litmus test to tell whether that's a word from the Lord. That's not how you do it. You know, the scripture tells us in the book of, Isaiah chapter 30, 21, you know, God will give us personal prophecy. When you're trying to make a personal guidance, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit too. When it comes, he will guide you into all truth. God said in, Psalm 32 and verse 8, I will instruct you in the way that you will go, and I will guide you with my eye. I mean, God said these things. So we already know that God is going to guide us. And so when someone comes and tells you something that is supposed to provide some guidance, you have to check what is it that the Lord already told you. Listen to this. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. And your ears shall hear a word behind it saying, this is the way, walk in it when you're about to turn to the right or to the left. Yeah, this is guidance from the Holy Spirit. 1 John 2:27 says, the anointing which you have received of him is true. The same is no lie at all, you know, and it teaches you all things, you know, and even as he has taught you, you should abide in him, you know, and you need not that any man should teach you, because this anointing has taught you. So, number one, God must instruct you personally. Unless you don't have the Spirit of God and you don't understand his voice or you haven't discerned his voice. So I'm going to talk about that now. Just like God was talking to Samuel, you know, actually God didn't say anything to him. Yeah, he was just calling him. So let me correct that. God was just calling him, but he didn't say anything because, you know, the man wouldn't understand anyway. You know, the young man. So, but once he figured out it was the voice of the Lord, then God was ready to speak to him. You know, so the same could be our situation. God may be telling us something. We may not know that it's God telling us, because we're not used to his voice. If at that time you were not used to his voice, then God may send somebody else to help you, you know, through that. But first, he told you. You know, I don't believe, this is me personally, everybody is free to believe whatever they want. When somebody asked me a question yesterday, what's your opinion? I said, well, and I give it. You know, so everybody is free to believe whatever they want. But for me personally, God's not going to tell me something about my life for the first time through somebody else. That's not going to happen. You know, he's told me already. Now, he can bring it to confirmation, or bring confirmation through somebody else. But see, if I was not as seasoned as I was today, to the glory of God, I might be looking for a word from somebody because I don't know how to hear from God myself. If you don't know how to hear from God or yourself, then you'll be looking for a prophetic word from somebody else. And there are a lot of people like that. And that's okay. It's just because they themselves haven't figured out how they can hear from the Lord themselves. But you can. And this lesson will encourage us, you know, in that direction. You yourself can walk in the prophetic. We'll get more into what that means. But there are times when the Lord will tell you in the Old Testament. We cannot use Old Testament as a parallel for how God is dealing with us now. In the Old Testament, you know, the people of God did not individually have the Holy Spirit like we do now. You know, so most of the time God had to send a prophet to them and they will be hearing the God's word for the first time from the prophet. You know, so that's not the case now. You know, we have the Holy Spirit now. Jesus said, I will send you the comforter, you know, will be with you, you know, and I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will even bring to your remembrance. And the Holy Spirit does all these things. So, Holy Spirit, someone said yesterday, and I agree, your number one instructor first. I say it's the first one. He's there to instruct you, you know, not somebody else. You got to look to the Holy Spirit first. Now, there are times when God is saying something to somebody and they're not getting it. The Lord may give them encouragement through someone else, or it may be even a warning through somebody else. But God's already warning them. Now, when our heart is not right, when we're walking in the flesh, we're not going to be able to discern anything in the spirit. And so I talked about that yesterday. This business of it doesn't resonate with me could be because the person was not in the spirit. If you are not in the spirit, as John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day when he was on the Isle of Patmos. Well, if you are not in the spirit, the Holy Spirit cannot communicate with you. Because the, you know, just like Paul was writing the book of Romans chapter 8, the flesh and the spirit, they are contrary one to another. They that are in the flesh, they cannot please God. This flesh is contrary, he said. You live after the flesh, you will die and all these things. You know, he said, look, for they that are after the flesh, this is Romans chapter 8. They that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God and is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot, you know, please God. And such like, you know, and if you are in the flesh, you can't please God. The flesh and the spirit, the flesh and the spirit, they are mortal enemies, if you want to say it that way, you know. So somebody might be speaking in the spirit and a person in the flesh, it might not resonate with them, because they are just not on the same wavelength, so to speak. You know, in the book of Galatians chapter 5, we read that also. You know, if you're walking in the flesh, then, you know, a lot of things will happen in your life. If you're walking in the spirit, you will not fulfill desires of flesh, he said. You know, what the flesh desires, he says, well, you know, contrary to the spirit. The spirit itself is contrary to the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. And these two are contrary to each other. So, you know, they have conflict. So, if someone is in the flesh, what someone in the spirit says to them may not resonate with them because they're in the flesh. So we cannot use, doesn't resonate with me as the final test of, you know, what, you know, some prophetic declaration is. You know, you yourself got to be in the spirit, you know, to check it out. The test that God gives us, the instruction that he gives us is in Isaiah 8 and 20. It's not about resonating with your spirit. It's about going to the word of the Lord to check it out. Now, for the person that's walking in the spirit, yeah, it may not resonate with their spirit and they can judge like that because the spiritual man judges all things. Yeah, if you are spiritual, then yeah, you may say no, you know, because you've already judged it in the spirit. But if you are carnal, and doesn't agree with you, it could be because you are carnal. That's why you couldn't figure out that it was the word of the Lord. So we got to put a balance there. You know, but in Isaiah 8:20, it says, look, to the law and to the testimony, you know, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there's no light in them. So if you hear anything, and you got to go check it out in the word. Now, if you don't know the word, then, of course, you might say it doesn't resonate with you. You don't even know what the word of God says. So it's our responsibility to know the word of God on our own. Jesus warned us, you know, the blind leading the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. You know, so the person that's being led must know the scriptures on their own. And so if your leader or somebody else starts to tell you something that's contrary, then no, you already know and you won't do it. If you don't know, you know, then you may fall into the ditch along with them. You know, so I say that for a balance. Number one, to be able to use the, it doesn't resonate with my spirit, you know, as a rule, you yourself will have to be in the spirit. That's number one. Number two, remember that the flesh and the spirit, they don't agree. So something that's spoken in the spirit may not be well received by somebody else that's in the flesh. And that's that. You know, also, you know, number three is we as individuals must connect with the Holy Spirit directly. But there are times, you know, there are times that the Holy Spirit will be telling us something. We see an example. This was an example, you know, best example I could find is, however, in the Old Testament. You know, God was telling Gideon some stuff. The angel of the Lord was, had chosen him as a man of valor. He didn't think he was a man of valor. And, the Lord was telling him that, look, I'm going to use you to deliver Israel from the hand of the Midianites. He didn't think so. So he wasn't sure of the voice of the Lord. You know, he wasn't quite experiencing that line of encounter. So he had to check it out. Well, let me put a piece of cotton wool, they call it fleece, on the ground. And in the morning, let only the cotton wool be wet and all the ground around it be dry. And it was so. When he woke up, he checked it out and he said, oh, wow. Then I think, you know, he might have thought and he said, well, okay, so maybe the fleece or the cotton wool soaked up all the water. You know, let me try the reverse. This time around, I'm going to ask for the impossible. You know, and if the impossible happen, then I'll know it's the voice of God. See, the whole time he was still trying to understand or discern that voice. That's discerning, you know, that voice. So they did the next day, turned it around and said, this time around, let the ground all be wet and this cotton wool sitting in the midst of water, let it be dry. Now, he knew that was impossible. He can't, that's impossible. You know, so, and in the morning, it was so. Now he said, ah, now I know the Lord is speaking. So, praise God, he figured it out. But still, he had some doubts, you know. So God had to help him. So he went down to a certain place and he was able to eavesdrop on two people that were speaking. He was, you know, he was just there. He overheard what they were saying. And one person said to his fellow, you know, I dreamt something last night. He said, yeah. What is it? So, well, I saw a loaf of bread that was just tumbling into all the camp of the Midianites and so on. And as they were tumbling, get to one tent, the tent fell, it left, went to another one, tent fell, and so on. And his friend said, oh, come on, that's nothing but the sword of Gideon. Sword of Gideon, we're talking about bread. Well, you know, the interpretation actually was correct. And the dreamer didn't know it, but his friend knew it. And when he said it and Gideon overheard it, it strengthened him. See, that's confirmation now. God already was speaking to him, but he wasn't sure, you know. And then he said, well, you know, maybe this and that and so on. But, you know, God allowed him to overhear something. You might say, you know, somebody said something that Gideon would be the one that would lay the camp of the Syrians down. I mean, Midianites. So he overheard that. But it was something the Lord had already told him that he was still debating in his mind, whether he was, you know, up to the task or not. You know, so by God, you know, allowing him to, you know, to hear the other thing that somebody else said, it was a confirmation, you know, to him. So, you know, you can read all those stories, you know, in Judges chapter 6 when God was calling him and all the rest. And he told him he would do it. He didn't know he could do it. And the Lord would, you know, give him confirmation and so on and so forth. So, now, that's an example of where God can give, you know, confirmation to us through somebody else's word. But in the case, like I said, God had already first told him. He just was doubting himself. And so God allowed him to get that, you know, confirmation. Praise the Lord. Now, in our day today, you know, we must expect that Holy Spirit is telling me you didn't read that scripture. Someone might not know it. Well, okay. In the book of, you know, Judges, chapter 7, is where you would see the reference to the sword of Gideon, like maybe around verse 14 or so. Judges chapter 6 was where God was calling Gideon and did all that stuff. And by the time he got to chapter 7 was when he got the confirmation, one man dreaming and the other one interpreting, and he happened to be listening in. And that gave him some confirmation. So you can read it like around Judges chapter 7, around verse 14 or so. Yeah, so you can read that for reference. You know, the man said, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, came to a tent, and smote it, that it fell, and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow said unto him, oh, this is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, and so forth. And Gideon happened to be listening. They didn't know he was listening, but he was just around the corner. I heard it. So, you know, it was so that when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped, you know. So that gave him confirmation, but God told him first, you know. So that's a classic example of where God told him first, but he needed somebody else to help him, you know, discern that it was really God. So that's there. Now let's talk about what Jesus was saying to us in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, this is one of the characteristics of what Jesus was saying about his followers. You know, remember in John chapter 10, he started out by saying that he's the good shepherd, the one that comes in through the door and all of that, and the others are climbing through the, you know, windows and all that, that they're thieves. And that, you know, the porter will not open to them, but they open to the good shepherd. So here he says, look, you know, there's a couple of things he says. John 10 verse 27 and John 10 verse 5. And I like to read them in that order, even though 5 comes before 27. You know, but, you know, if you read John chapter 10 verse 27, it said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and there is no one that is able to pluck anything out of my Father's hands. You know, as he said that. If you go to verse 5, he also said that, you know, they will not follow. Let me read it from verse 4. When the good shepherd puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from the stranger, because they know not the voice of strangers. So this is a characteristic that Jesus described of his sheep. And we who are believers, we've got to claim this promise. Say, they know my voice. They can discern between the voice of the shepherd and the voice of strangers. The sheep doesn't need to see the shepherd. It just needs to hear his voice. I mean, they may be in a place where, you know, the shepherd is away from their line of sight. Maybe they are far away, you know, they can't directly see him, but they can hear. And their hearing is good. Sheep's hearing is good. You know, so when they hear his voice, it may even be behind them, they'll turn around and go in the direction of that voice, because they heard the voice. You know, but if somebody else tried to call out to them, they wouldn't do it because they don't recognize that other voice. So this is a foundational lesson in what, you know, God is telling us about, you know, his voice and how we must know that voice of the Lord. We got to know it. The voice of the Lord must be discerned. The voice of the Lord is prophetic, always prophetic, because he's addressing comfort to your life. He's bringing an admonition, can even be bringing rebuke, correction, whatever, all these things, you know. And when you hear it, you got to know that it's the voice of the Lord. If you don't know, God can be patient. Samuel didn't know, and God was patient. You know, he's running around. God was just there waiting until he figured it out. You know, he was patient. And when you know, God will, when he tries to get your attention, he will wait for you until he gets your attention. Yeah, you know, that's it. Even we see Moses, who would later become a great prophet, in Exodus chapter 3. He had run away from Egypt and all that. You know, now shacked up with Jethro, the priest of Midian, and so forth. He will marry his daughter and all that. But this one day, he's keeping his, you know, father-in-law's flock. Goes to this mountain. They call it the Mount of God, you know, because, you know, they said there was some folklore stories about that thing. So, anyway, he went there, and suddenly he sees this phenomenon. He sees there's something that appears like fire, you know, but it's localized. It's not spreading. It's wondering in his mind, you know, fire would normally spread and be burning the bush as it's going along. But this fire is just glowing like that, but it's in one place. It's not even spreading. And Moses said, well, you know, I got to, you know, turn aside to check this thing out. And in that particular story, we learn that the drawing of Moses, God did it with this phenomenon. The sign of the burning bush was just to draw him in. And so, well, the experience that God wanted Moses to have was to hear his voice. It wasn't just to see the fire. See the fire didn't mean anything if you didn't come close. If Moses hadn't said, well, I must now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is burning and why this fire is here and the bush is not consumed. So when he turned aside, now he's ready to hear the voice. And he heard the voice too, but still, he himself was a bit doubtful, and God had to help him along. In fact, at one point in time, God was angry because God kept encouraging him, but he kept arguing. You know, I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't do this. So God started to get angry with him. But, you know, he had to hear that voice. The instruction was in that voice. You know, that is so critical for us. You recognize instruction is in that voice, you know. Isaiah 30:21, the instruction will be in that voice. When you get to crossroads, you try to make a decision. The instruction will be in that voice. Psalm 32 verse 8, the instruction will be in that voice. You know, I will guide you. I will instruct you. I will, you know, all these things. So we must know the voice. Now, not every voice that we hear, I mean, Paul was talking about it. There are many kinds of voices. All kinds of voices, you know, he was saying that, look, you know, there may be voice of this, voice of that, you know, but, and then there's also the voice of the Lord. But how do you hear, how do you discern his voice among all these other voices? Some of the voices also, even when the voice of the Lord is there, mingled among the noise that you must sift away will be the voice of fear, the voice of unbelief, the voice of discouragement, the voice of reason. That one is very subtle. The voice of God is there. The voice of reason will come along and tell you, come on now. You know, you're too old. I mean, you can't bear a child anymore. I mean, you're 90 years old. Your husband is almost 100 years old. How are you going to do it? Why don't you do it this way? That's voice of reason. You know, voice of fear. I can't walk on water. Yes, you were. You were just walking on water a few seconds ago. You know, there are so many things, you know, and, you know, Jesus called it out at times. Why are you so fearful? How come it is that you have no faith? All these voices are there. You must sift them out and know the voice of the Lord. And, you know, we saw in 1 Kings 19 the story about Elijah and the still small voice. Well, sometimes that voice may not be loud at all. There may be other loud things around it. The earthquake, the fire, the, you know, the all these things that were happening. But God was not in it. And then it was only in the small, still small voice that God was there. You know, God is showing us. I mean, usually God is in those things. God was in the fire with Moses. You know, he was there. And, you know, God can use the earthquake. He can use, you know, whatever phenomena. But there is something with all those phenomena that we want to hear is the voice of the Lord. What is the voice of the Lord saying among all the drama? You know, you got to be able to pick it out. So that's what I call discerning the prophetic and also discerning the voice of the Lord. And then you have to be able to distinguish between whether just because someone said, thus saith the Lord, it is actually thus saith the Lord. We've seen many examples there in the Bible. But people do say, thus saith the Lord. But the Bible calls that using the name of the Lord in vain. In vain have they prophesied lies, the Bible said, you know, and so they use the voice of the Lord in vain. So when people say the Lord has said and he has not said, well, that's using the Lord's voice in vain. And sometimes the people that say the Lord has said when he hasn't said, they may actually be thinking that the Lord said. It may not mean that, I mean, it's not all the time that they deliberately wanted to deceive either themselves or somebody else. It may just be that they are, you know, confused or deluded, you know, and they think it's the Lord, but it's not the Lord. So it is left to the conduit who is giving the word and the receiver, you know, of the prophetic word to know whether they themselves are speaking from the Lord or you are hearing from the Lord. You got to train your ears too to know the voice of the Lord. Just like you know the voice of your friend, they speak to you among the crowd, you know them, even on the phone before they introduce themselves or call ID, you know it's them. So do you know the voice of the Lord? My sheep know my voice, Jesus said. So if you are his sheep, you must know his voice. So that's a good thing. Now, if you know your voice and you are his voice and you are equipped with the word of the Lord, then nobody can bamboozle you into something else. Praise God. And it may be true that, you know, the thing that you hear may necessarily not resonate with your spirit. That may be true. I mean, I heard negative things at times that someone would say about me, and it doesn't resonate with me because Jeremiah 29:11 tells me that, you know, God's thoughts towards me are for peace and not for evil. Give me an expected end. If somebody come and tell me a dream, you know, it may be a negative dream and I don't like it because it's not for my good. I dismiss it. I cancel it right away. You know, and I heard it in my days as a young man, you know, who said this and that and this and that. And I said, no, that's not my portion. I cancel that. You know, Jeremiah 23:23 says, look, there will be no divination or enchantment that will work against you. So sometimes people have divination spirits. Peeping and muttering spirits, and they don't even know it. You know, I heard somebody one day say, well, you know, I was in my house. He was looking. He was actually looking. It wasn't just that God showed him. He was looking to see what somebody else was doing from their own house. They want to show themselves that they are a seer. And I said, well, that's a peeping and muttering spirit. What do you want to know what I was doing in my house for? He said, well, I saw you reading this and you standing there and wearing this and so forth. That's nonsense. I don't care about that. You know, some other people will be impressed with that. I'm not, you know, God wants to tell me something, let him tell me. I'm right here. You know, I mean, am I a bastard that God cannot speak to me? You know, I'm his son already. So, you know, if God wants to tell me something, it's you that he will now tell to come and tell me? No. And I often just reject those things. It doesn't even mean anything to me. Now, people who are not grounded like that, you know, they may be afraid, and so on. But, you know, those kind of things can be actually spellbinders that cast a spell upon you. And that's how witchcraft works. You try to control people by what you say. That's witchcraft. Some people don't even know it. You know, they mingle the gifts of God with witchcraft before, and they don't even know it. You know, anytime you try to control and bring fear upon people by what you say, it might be tending to witchcraft and people don't even know that already. So you got to be careful. What is God saying about you? Does it mean that God cannot say evil? Of course he can. But the evil will be to warn you. It won't be to pronounce it on you. You know, God may be warning you from evil. And so it's not, you know, all the time that everything you hear will be good and good and good. No, that's why you have to learn how to discern. God may actually be warning you from evil because he's been telling you not to do it, but you are not listening. So he'll send somebody else to warn you. You know, this may happen if you do that. And those can be what you call, you know, conditional prophecies. You know, God may say something, but it can be overridden if you turn from your wicked ways. It's, you know, like the prophecy of Jonah against Nineveh. God, you know, God sent him to go and warn them from their evil ways. Jonah, of course, did not want God to spare them. He actually wanted God to punish them because those people are very wicked. And so Jonah knew that, look, if I go there, you can read that in chapter 4 of Jonah. If I go there to speak the word of the Lord, these people will hear, they will turn and God will spare them. But I don't want them to be spared. They're wicked. They need to be punished. So that was in his mind. So he ran away. He didn't want to do it and all that. You know, but when these people heard it, you know, and Jonah did not even preach with compassion. All he said was, yet 40 days and this city shall be overturned. He did not even preach with compassion, but it was enough. God just needed him to voice it out, and God used it. You know, so, you know, God may bring a word like that, you know, and it is intended to wake people, awake to righteousness. You know, so in the prophecies that Jesus gave John to, and you said that's the Old Testament. Well, here's New Testament stuff. The prophecies that Jesus gave John to the churches in Asia Minor at the time, some of them were deadly serious. You know, I would cast her into a bed of affliction and then I commit fornication with her, you know, and so forth. And I would kill her children with death, except she repent and these things. You know, so, I mean, they were deadly serious. And God can say those things. And he was speaking to his church. But inside the church, there were horrible elements that had mingled in. Jesus told the story of the parable of the tares and the wheat. You know, everything that's in the church is not church. You know, just like everybody in his disciples were among them, there was a devil. Jesus said, look, have I not chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil? I mean, Jesus chose a devil to be one of his disciples, because there was a purpose for it. You know, say, well, it's a son of perdition. There was a purpose. He had to be there. But look, he was there. So it's not when we gather together in the days of Job, we're told that the sons of God gather together and the devil came among them also. You know, sometimes when we gather together, you don't know who's gathering with you. There may be other elements there, you know, so. And there was a mixed multitude in the days of the children of Israel. And the other mixed, the bunch of people there that were, did not believe anything was always constantly trying to get the people to go back to Egypt. They were there for a purpose to turn the hearts of the people back. You know, that's right. There were a few people there, Miriam and the rest of them, said, no, let's believe the word of the Lord through the servant of the Lord and so forth. They said, well, that's because he's your brother. You know, we don't believe, you know, why this and that, you know. So, I mean, there's always that mixed crowd there, You know, you must decide for yourself, is this thing that I'm hearing the word of the Lord or not? So that's what discerning the prophetic means. Well, let's talk about walking in the prophetic. What does it mean for us to walk in the prophetic? Well, does that mean that I've got to be a prophet, or I must have the gift of prophecy? Well, you could be a prophet and not even know it. You know, you may have the gift of prophecy and not even know it. We are encouraged to develop these things. You know, let every man wait on their ministry. Paul was writing in Romans chapter 12. You know, whatever it is, you're going to be prophesying. You got to wait on it. Because if you don't wait, you probably don't know. Maybe one day you prophesied and you don't wait on it. You may be prophesying once in a blue moon. You know, but if you wait on it and spend a lot of time in prayer. Now, I've discovered this over the years. Revelation gifts and vocal gifts, prophetic gifts, they function more when people spend a lot of time in prayer. You know, I just know that over the years. If you spend a lot of time in prayer and reading out the word and so forth, rather than filling your mind with all kinds of other junk, those things will function more. They'll be able to flow. Think of it this way. I've given this example before. Think of a garden hose. I have one outside my house right now, and I have one in the back too. You know, you can turn that water on and turn it on fully, and then the water is not coming out. Why? You know, then you discover there's a kink in that hose. When the hose is kinked up like that, the water is not flowing, no matter how much you turn on the tap. And then you trace it down, you find there's a kink. Ah. And when you straighten out the kink, all of a sudden, boom, it comes out the water. But the water was flowing the whole time, but it wasn't coming out because there was a kink in the hose. So that's the same thing with the flowing of the Spirit in the prophetic. You know, the Spirit is there the whole time. The flow is hindered because of the various kinks and the flesh. And so I've got to put the flesh under. If you can get those kinks out of that, again, consider your plumbing system in your house. Sometimes over the years, calcium deposits and various things will just clog up the pipes. And water will not flow freely. It's not that there is no, the pressure is not enough. You can go and turn on pressure all you want. You know, it's not coming out because there's all these kinks and clogged up stuff. And even there was one day, you know, water was not coming out of one of my, the faucet in the sink, the vanity there. It wasn't coming out. And this was many years ago. I didn't know that there was a filter. There was a small filter, you know, in the mouth of that faucet. It's like a net, you know, catches some debris. You know, I didn't know that, you know. So I called a plumber that I don't know what's going on with this, you know. Again, lack of knowledge caused by people to perish, spend money there that I couldn't spend. The guy comes in there, does 2 seconds and charges me. And, all he did was, he already seen those symptoms. So he'd come in there, he put his hand around the faucet. Now, this was years ago, you know, about 40, 50, I don't even know, 40 something. I just came to the U.S. then, probably 40 or so years ago. Then he just put his hand there and brought this tiny thing out. I didn't know it was there. And it was so clogged up. And then all of a sudden, the water was rushing out. He didn't even have to go inside, you know, the plumbing. And he said, this is what your problem is. I said, the next time around, I learned that. You know, so that little net that was in front of that faucet or catching debris, after a while, the debris was so much that the water wasn't flowing. So that may be the case when some people may have the prophetic gifts. You know, I may not even know it because, you know, there's too much stuff that's preventing that thing from flowing. And that's another lesson by itself. But I want to say that, look, Just because you can prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. But you may be a prophet in the making and not know it, is what I'm saying. Now, just because you have the gift of prophecy doesn't make you a prophet either. A prophet definitely has the gift of prophecy, but every person that has the gift of prophecy is not necessarily a prophet. Just like you can, you know, there's a class of automobiles called, I mean, you can call them vehicles, you know, whatever. But, you know, and they can be different things, you know. Everything that, you know, moves on four wheels is not necessarily, you know, a car. But a car, you know, will move on four wheels, you know, and things like that. So just because you have that prophetic gift doesn't necessarily make you a prophet. Prophet is a higher calling. They are in the zone all the time, you know, and the word of the Lord will come to them. The prophetic gift is a slice of that too. And they may, you know, God may move upon them, but especially more so when they're in prayer. And in congregational settings, the best time is worship, and even your own personal life too. When you are worshiping the Lord, you find out the Holy Spirit will speak, and you're praising the Lord. And the Holy Spirit will speak the wonderful works of God too. And then he will drop a word there, you know. So how do we walk in the prophetic for ourselves? Well, first of all, you must recognize that God has endowed you with the Spirit of God. If you don't understand that, you'll be looking elsewhere. You don't need to go run around looking for somebody else. You yourself. Let me read to you. I've cited it so many times, but I haven't actually read it. So let me actually read it so that people will say, well, what is he talking about? Well, it's right here in the scriptures. You know, I'm going to read from 1 John, you know, chapter 2. Let's read from verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, what will happen? Well, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now, these things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There's a lot of seducers getting worse and worse, even on this so-called clubhouse. Seducers, you know, and tell you that, you know, they have the word of the Lord and you don't. So they get an advantage over you and they sell you a prophetic gift. you know, if you want this type of miracle, you have to sow this amount of seed. Are you kidding? People actually fall for that nonsense, you know, but you'll be surprised what people fall for. You know, it's like merchandise, it's like, auction. It's like auctioning off the gift. Say, well, you sow this amount of money and you get this type of miracle. Another type of miracle where you sow this type of money. It's like, oh my goodness, you know. I mean, Babylon is a cage of foul spirits and different things like that. You know, come out of her, my people. Get away from that nonsense. You know, and this man is telling you, these people are seducing you, but he's going to give you the antidote to that seduction. Don't fall for it now. Say, the anointing which you have received, the same anointing which I received of God, abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you or tell you anything. I tell you what God wants for you in your life. Why? Why can't you hear it yourself? You know, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and it's the truth, and it's no lie. Well, even as he had taught you, you shall abide. He's already taught you. But you are not listening. That's why you're looking for him somewhere else. You know, or you don't yield yourself for him to teach you, you know. And but if you allow him to teach you, then he will teach you and you shall abide in him, you know, and so on. Now, let me tell you some of the roles of the Holy Spirit since we're on this subject. And the, you know, what do you call it? The evidence. Some people say, what's the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You know, ever since I can remember it, I think I was probably 20 years old because I knew where I was then. I was in a place called Federal School of Science, and we used to have this debate with my friends who are also believers. So that's why I know what age I was. I mean, that was 50 years ago. I've been having this debate since 50 years ago with people on what's the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because everybody else, you know, we were a small group and I had some friends when I were in a hostel. And we would debate these things, you know. Bible said that Paul was debating daily in the school of one Cyrenius. Okay. So we were there, you know, debating and so forth. Also debating in the temple. So they would say, well, the evidence of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Well, I spoke in tongues too, but I would say no. And they say, well, why do you say no? I say, well, every time they spoke in tongues, yeah, every time they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke in tongues. And I would say, well, that was anecdotal. It happened and it was recorded. You know, it doesn't say that that's the evidence, but, you know, every time it happened, that's the way it happened. And they say, well, what's the evidence? And I say, well, okay. This is what Jesus told us to expect. Okay? I say, well, what Jesus told you to expect. And I still maintain that position. It's amazing. Surprising. I mean, my position has shifted on some things, you know, over the years. Not too much. But this one, my position has not shifted. I still maintain till today that speaking in tongues is not the evidence of those, because devils speak with tongues. That's right. I've seen it. If you've never seen it, I have seen it. I've heard it. I've seen it. You know, so that's not the evidence. Here is the evidence. I'm going to show you some scriptures. Now, those who are baptized with the Holy Spirit will speak with tongues. I'm not debating that. But just because you spoke with tongues doesn't mean that's the evidence. So let's see what Jesus told us to expect when the Spirit of truth is come. Jesus spoke about it at length. John captured it. He knew what he was writing to. I mean, here are all the things that Jesus, you know, spoke about. When the Holy Spirit is come, what will he do? Well, let's read it. John chapter 14. You know, let's read from, say, verse 25. You know, these things are spoken unto you, being yet present with you. You know, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Here are some of the things that the Holy Spirit will do. Okay. Now, this is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. This is what he will do. He shall teach you all things, and he shall bring all things to your remembrance, what I have said unto you. This is what John was writing about. He would teach you the same anointing that you heard. He would teach you all things. Now, that's one thing that Jesus said. Well, let's look at John 15 and verse 26. So also what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. When he shall come, you know, what will he do in our lives? You know, Holy Spirit, when he shall come, what will he do? Well, John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth will proceed from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now, so testifying of Jesus, just like the Bible says, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Can't do it, you know. So the Holy Spirit, that's the evidence. If somebody can say that Jesus is the Lord, that comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, he said, look, nobody can do that. The Holy Spirit, he will testify of me. He shall bear witness. You yourself will bear witness. Well, in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus gave another evidence there. He said, well, when you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. That's another. And we saw it in the life of Peter. Peter, who was cowering, couldn't even testify about Jesus before he made. When the Holy Spirit came, he did speak with tongues. That's true. But beyond that, he had power. You know, and he witnessed to people, 3,000 souls were saved and baptized in one day. That's power. You know, now, Jesus also said in John chapter 16 and verse 13, I love this one, you know, the Holy Spirit. These are all the things that he will do. Not tongues is part of it, but it's not the only thing, is what I'm saying. Because people who think that tongues is the conclusive evidence of the Holy Spirit, that's all they focus on. And they speak in tongues, but they have no power. They speak in tongues, but they have no revelation. Now, Holy Spirit is supposed to bring revelation. It will teach you, guide you into all truth and all these things. You know, how be it? John 16 and 13, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. Second time he's saying that. He shall not speak of himself, but whatever I shall speak, you know, here he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. That's another thing. That's the prophetic. Holy Spirit will lead you into the prophetic realm. That's real evidence. He'll be showing you things to come. And that happens in so many ways. You can latch your faith onto that. You know, you're in a wheelchair today. Holy Spirit will show you getting out of that wheelchair. That's something to come. When you see that coming, you latch your faith into it. It works powerfully. Get you out of that chair. Praise God. You know, you see yourself walking down that aisle. You want to be married? Holy Spirit show it to you. When you see it, you latch your faith onto it. It's going to come to pass. Holy Spirit showed it to you. See, these are the things the Holy Spirit will do in our lives. Beyond speaking in tongues. Yes, we will speak with tongues, not to diminish that. Just like the Bible says, despise not prophesying and forbid not to speak with tongues. I'm not forbidding it. But, you know, when we focus primarily on speaking with tongues, you will speak with tongues, but there will be no power. As a matter of fact, some people learn how to speak with tongues. And that's not the Holy Spirit at all. You know, that's people just making some words up. That's not speaking in tongues. You know, one day I was in a place, you know, and I saw somebody trying to actually teach people how to speak with tongues. And they thought they were trying to tell them, you know, how to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is this? You know, so, you know, you can't do that. You cannot teach people how to speak with tongues. As the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, that's it. You know, so people today, and I've often told people, I say, look, when you're praying for people to receive the Holy Spirit, don't speak with tongues in that meeting, in that prayer. Because the people will be listening and trying to speak like you speak. And then they say, well, I've been baptized because I spoke with. No, don't speak with tongues. Just lay hands on them. Tell them what the Holy Spirit will do in their life. Lay hands on them. Don't speak with tongues. Let them speak with tongues. Not you speaking with tongues. What are you speaking tongues over them for? I've seen people speak with tongues over people. They will say, open your mouth. Speak, speak, speak. And they're trying to get them to receive the Holy Spirit. But they're really what they're trying to get them to do is to speak with tongues. And people equate those two things together. And that is an absolute nonsense. It is not. You know, Holy Spirit baptism is not speaking with tongues. That's not what it is. It is the Holy Spirit baptism. That's what it is. You will receive power. You know, Jesus will baptize with Holy Ghost and power and fire. Now, speaking with tongues, that's one of the side benefits. But when you focus primarily on that, now what about all the other gifts? You know, that's why a bunch of people speak with tongues and that's it. That's the end of it. Because we see the speaking in tongues as an end. You know, people are praying for months and weeks and so forth, wanting to receive the Holy Spirit. And the moment they speak with tongues, that's it. They have arrived. You know, but you have only just begun. As a matter of fact, there are heavier and weightier and deeper gifts of the Spirit than speaking with tongues. God will give you, starting with the lesser gifts. Speaking in tongues is a lesser gift. Jesus said, you know, this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall speak with tongues. Those are the lesser gifts. Now, if you are faithful in that which is little, then God will begin to give you more. And the lesser gift is powerful. When you speak in tongues, it's powerful. It can charge you up. It can open up avenues for you to receive even other things from the Lord. But don't limit the Holy Spirit to speaking with tongues. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life, it will show you things to come. You will have power. You will not be timid anymore to speak for Christ. You know, if you're speaking in tongues and you still can't speak for Christ, well, are you sure? You know that you have received the baptism of power. And that's right. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. A power also comes with that. You know, a powerless church is, you know, speaking with tongues, but yet they are powerless. What kind of thing is that? You know, let's speak with tongues. You know, hey, the desire, spiritual gifts, desire to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. I'm not forbidding that. It's good. I love it. I speak with tongues too. But, you know, I don't believe and will never admit or agree that, you know, once you speak in tongues, that's it. Because that's only the beginning. You know, there are more things, you know. Speaking in tongues can actually bring a lot of good things. So let me speak about the good part of it. You know, when you speak, you know, if you speak in tongues a lot, not in the public, I'm talking about you, you know, charging yourself up, speaking tongues a lot, things can begin to open up to you. The point of the matter is this. I don't want anybody to go away to say, well, Pastor Yaro said, you don't have to speak with tongues. I never said any such thing. You know, what I said was that it is not the conclusive evidence that a person has the Holy Spirit just because they spoke with tongues, because there are people that speak with tongues that didn't come from the baptism of the Holy Spirit. See, but you cannot testify of Jesus without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You cannot, you know the truth. In all these things that Jesus said, this Holy Spirit, when it comes, he will give you the knowledge. He will show you all truth. He will testify of me, show you things to come. He will speak with tongues too, but that's only part of it. Now, in closing, let me say this. Just to close this lesson out. Three areas that I wanted to cover today. I'm not sure how well I covered them all, but we've covered the role of prophecy, what prophecy can be do for us in our lives. We've covered discerning the prophetic. You got to make sure that what you're hearing is from the Lord. Because what you're hearing is not always from the Lord. We've seen stories in the Bible about that. And the last part I wanted to cover, which I didn't do justice to today yet, is walking in the prophetic. And I would take one lesson tomorrow by the grace of God to just deal with that. What does that really mean? And what does that really look like? I mean, walking in the prophetic, what does it really look like? You know, so again, you know, some of the things that we've said is for you to be able, number one, you know, to engage things that are prophetic from the heart of God. If you're someone that despises prophecies, you can never walk in the prophetic because you despise it already. You know, but you must hold fast to that which is good, the Bible says. You know, you discern it, you throw away the bad, you hold fast to that which is good. You know, you don't rush in when you hear something. You know, take your time to check it out. We're told that the people in Thessalonica at one time, they were not receiving the word gladly. Later on, Paul said, yeah, you receive the word of God as though it were the word of God. So he thanked them for it. But the people in Berea, at the beginning, they received the word of God with gladness, but then they checked it out daily to see whether those things are so. So that's what you should do. Don't despise it. Don't throw it away. Receive it, but check it out. Now, some of it you might be able to throw away right away if it's right out, you know, blatantly contrary to the word of God. So you yourself must know the word of God. You can throw it away right away. But if you're not sure whether it's what God is saying or not, well, then, you know, receive it, but then check it out. To the law and the testimony. That's how you check it out. Is it according to the word of the Lord? And is it what the Lord is speaking? The Lord will not leave you comfortless. He will not lead you in the blind. He will guide you and will show you. So you will hear a voice behind you and so forth. You know, so we must apply, you know, the word of God with wisdom like that. Praise the Lord. And we must be able to show understanding. You know, you engage the word of God, got to show understanding. You got to engage it with understanding. Jesus in the parable, sower said, the people that heard the word, but received no understanding, they lost everything. So when you hear the word, it's not just the gospel. It's also the prophetic word. If you hear the prophetic word, it's got to be with understanding. You know, otherwise, you know, the devil will come and catch it out of your heart. Understand it. You got to have that understanding. So we need to pray for understanding. Praise the Lord. Pray for understanding. When you hear the prophetic word, what does that mean? Lord, you know, show me. I mean, tell me more clearly what you are actually talking about. You know, give me understanding. Well, if you ask, Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. If you ask, you will receive. You know, if any man lack wisdom or understanding, well, let him ask of God. But let him ask in faith, not in doubting, is what James said. And if you ask in faith, you will receive. Praise the Lord. So we will talk more by the grace of God on walking in the prophetic and walking in prophecy. You know, we ourselves can be, you know, a walking prophetic person. You know, you are aligned, you know, you are aligned with God. You are aligned with the Spirit of Truth. And, you know, that makes you prophetic. Even in your prayers can be prophetic. Prophetic when you are speaking the word of God, and if you're prophetic when you are praying the word of God. When God already said something and you mingle that in your prayer and use that to be your prayer, that becomes prophetic prayers. When God already said something and you yourself are saying the thing that God already said, that makes it prophetic. So you can see, and I will get more into this tomorrow, that it's not really that hard to walk in the prophetic. you need to know what God is saying. Then there is also the inspiration of the Almighty, which God can give. And the listening ear is from the Lord, you know. God will help you to train your ears to hear. You know, Jesus said it multiple times in the book of Revelation. In each one of those things that he addressed to the churches in Asia Minor, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Well, everybody has an ear, but not everybody has a hearing ear. So the hearing ear is training your ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You know, among many things that you are hearing, you're hearing multiple things in your mind. Be training your mind to discern what the Lord is saying. And you can even hear his voice audibly. Be talking about all those things. How do you train your ears to hear what the Lord is saying? And someone said yesterday that, you know, we're hearing in the spirit. When they're in a prayer meeting, someone said, "I was hearing that in the spirit." Yeah, it's because they have trained their ear to hear the prophetic. You know, praise the Lord. And when we're saying prophetic, I'm qualifying it to prophetic from the Spirit of God, not just prophetic from the mind or prophetic from the devil. And when you start to get into spiritual things, you are into a realm, you know, a realm where there can be spiritual interference. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're now, you know, in a zone, waves are carried. You know, you've got to tune to the right channel. You might tune into some wrong channel. People who love spiritual things and want to get into those, they have to also be careful because, you know, the devil also operates in those levels. And not everything you hear or see will be from the Lord. Last, let me tell you this, that, you know, many people don't know this, but the devil came to Jesus and showed him many things. You know, so everything that we see is not just, is not always from the devil, I mean from the Lord. In the book of Matthew chapter 4 verse 8 and Luke chapter 4 verse 5, Satan took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. That's a vision. You know, how do you see everything in a moment of time? Just rolled everything past his eyes. You know, so just because you see vision, some people think that, oh, vision is more prophetic than dreams. Maybe, maybe not. Depends on where it comes from. You know, so, you know, when you see a vision or see a dream, it's not necessarily from the Lord or not from the Lord. You have to just discern it. And this vision of all the kingdoms of the world did not come to Jesus from the Father. It came from that devil. You know, and the, you know, if the devil can show it to Jesus, how much less us? So everything we see is not necessarily from God. Everything you dream is not necessarily from God. Everything you hear is not necessarily from God. Whether you hear it yourself or somebody else tells it to you. Whether the dream came to you or comes from somebody else, or the vision came to you. Just because you saw a vision doesn't mean it's from God. Some people think visions are infallible. There is nothing that's infallible except the word of God. Now, the word of God can come to you in a vision. you know, it will be infallible, but it's your responsibility to check it out. Make sure that it is indeed the Word of God. But that's all the time we have today. Sorry for all the interruptions and distractions. One of the interruptions was for myself. I got out of the room for a bit and I didn't know. Another interruption was from somebody that jumped into this room and started to say something. So with all those interruptions, we will, you know, we apologize for that. But, you know, I think you got the gist of the message. I'm going to pray here and close the lesson out. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. I give you praise and I give you glory. Lord, we have spoken your word. We prepared our hearts and beginning to hear it. We have heard it. We will meditate upon it and see whether those things are so. And I pray that everybody will take the challenge of always checking out to see whether those things are so that they heard or hear, even in this room. Praise the Lord. So, Father, we thank you for that. We give you glory and we give you praise. And I pray, Lord, that as we go forward, the Holy Spirit will instruct us. The Lord has already promised him to be our instructor, guide us into all truth. Lord, I pray that our hearts will be open. We need to experience more of God, you know, in the prophetic, in speaking with tongues, in interpretation of tongues, in dreams, in visions, in prophecy, in word of knowledge, in all the gifts of the Spirit. We need to experience God more and more. I pray, Lord, that you help us in discerning as well, having our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.